This is the English Programme's Psychology Review. Don't forget we are available on Spreaker. If you want, you can go to spreaker.com/show/psychologyradio. All of the individual episodes can be found there. And starting today, we're going to continue with the Psychology Review what's the word? I've forgotten the word. Like a best of the day. I've forgotten the word. But anyway, if you go to spreaker.com/show/psychology, there'll be... what's the word? I've completely forgotten the word. I don't believe it. Anyway, that will be like a compilation of that particular day's episodes. Okay? Hopefully that makes sense. So let's have a look at a new or a different story now, okay? I am going to have a look at the relationship between digital technology and sensitivity to emotion. I think I read that correctly. I hope I did. Young people who regularly use digital media, I assume they mean internet, that kind of thing, to communicate risk becoming less sensitive to emotional cues from others. Oh, okay. So according to a study by the University of California, LA, the UCLA, of course, they published in a journal called Computers in Human Behavior, test participants who avoided using devices such as smartphones for 5 days were much better at reading people's emotions than those who continued using electronic gadgets. I really worry about the future. The future of humanity, because where are we going with all these gadgets and things? Of course, you have to use them, but there's more and more research now showing you that this is having a profound effect on our ability as people to communicate and to have apathy for other people. Professor Patricia Greenfield, who is the senior author of the research, commented thusly, "The displacement of in-person social interaction by screen interaction seems to be reducing social skills." She stated the results of her study are significant since the tests were conducted within a short space of time. The professor added that they demonstrate how people require more face-to-face interaction, as even those who use digital services, or devices, I should say, to communicate with others, are spending less time developing their social skills and the ability to read nonverbal signals. I'll just say at this moment, I use Skype a lot, don't use video, because the picture quality is so bad. I've lost count of the number of times I've watched the news and they interview someone on the Skype. Which, first of all, is a free advert for Skype. Can't they develop a kind of generic thing which sort of does what Skype does, which is basically just a camera, but they don't have to give Skype free advertising? I think the last thing Microsoft needs is free advertising from the BBC, but anyway, they do use the Skype thing a lot. And the picture quality is always really bad, and I think if we're going to go down the road of online conversations, we need to have good quality stuff. Anyway, the chartered psychologist Dr. Carolyn Schuster said this. "This research comes just at the right time and confirms to some degree what I and some other psychologists are seeing in clinic. I have seen evidence of young people gathering but not communicating directly with each other. They are often choosing to communicate even whilst sitting in the same physical space via the electronic devices, usually using social media. I think all schools, and I hope and I expect this happens already, I think all schools, all public places of that nature, academic places, they should ban phones being used they should all have that thing which blocks the signal. So when you go into the building, your phone simply does not work. I think that that should happen. Many young people seem only to be aware that they are losing their ability to use emotion skills once a problem has arisen, such as cyberbullying. At this point, they often realize the addictive power that such devices can hold over them. Parents and school teachers need to be aware of the potential problems arising from overuse of such technology. Mental health practitioners have an important role in helping raise awareness. I think this is a very serious problem, this addiction, and whether it's an actual, you know, whether a phone, using the phone, and of course phones, it's basically the screen, isn't it? Whether it's a phone or whatever the device is, it's the screen and all of the things and the movement and everything which is happening on the screen is going into your brain. It's affecting your brain. It's triggering some kind of psychotropic effect, clearly, real or otherwise. But the point is that people are, that they're certainly behaving in a way which suggests that they're addicted. Whether they are or not is another issue. But they appear to be addicted. And I think this, it's like an episode of Doctor Who. You walk down the street and everyone seems to be on the phone. You're sitting on the bus, everyone's on the phone. I mean, what are they doing? There should be some kind of like register where you can sort of see what people are doing, because it's just amazing. There should be research done. Go off and sit on the buses and just ask people, excuse me, what are you doing? You've sat there for 20 minutes with your head just in that position, putting aside any you know, physical problems you may have. It appears that you're just absolutely fixed, transfixed to this screen. What are you doing? I remember the old days with the Pac-Man games. I mean, that's okay, sort of playing those basic games. If only we knew then what we now know, which is that soon everybody is going to be addicted to these devices. And the problem with the phone, if you're just checking messages, it never finishes. I think that's the problem, and it is disruptive to people. And famous people like Stephen Fry, he's one of those people famous. He's famous in his own right, but he's famous for being a celebrity who loves to use the iPhone and all of that business. And even he has to, when he's writing a book or something, he has to switch off all his social networking because the distraction is just too much. And I've always wondered, you know, why people, even if you're famous, you're successful, you've got a lot of money, lots of property, lots of work, and you still prefer to spend hours and hours and hours. And people say, well, you know, in the case of famous people, I'm talking to my fans. Well, if you want to talk to your fans, go to a book signing at the local bookshop and talk to your fans there face to face. Why, you know, just go to your local community center and just invite all your friends or all your fans along, and they can ask you questions and things. I mean, you can even charge people on the door, and you know, lots of celebrities do that. Lots of people have these talking tours. I think the late great Tony Benn had a tour. He went around the country. He'd just sort of sit there and people ask him questions. And Roger Moore, James Bond, he did it. He just did a tour where he goes around and does the same thing. Just sits there sort of talking about specific things from his book. But basically fans can just ask questions. But these celebrities who, whether or not they do that as well, they still find that they must be spending hours talking to their fans on the Facebook or whatever. And I think you don't have to be famous I think we always hear about the cases of the famous people, but of course this